Welcome to our final episode of KC's Lenten podcast, Into the Wilderness. I will say again, and for the final time, if you are joining us for the first time, or simply need a refresher on what this podcast is all about, I'd encourage you to check out the first episode of this series, titled Into the Wilderness, Lenten Podcast Intro, and then join us back here after you're done. I want to thank you again for journeying with us through the 6 weeks of Lent. It was a joy and a privilege to walk through the wilderness with you. And it has been my prayer that each of us has emerged repentant but ultimately renewed, having discovered for either the first time or maybe just afresh, the mercy of Jesus who endured the cross so that we might live. I would also encourage you to revisit these devotionals at any time. We will never exhaust the depths of the mercy and goodness of God in our lives. Now let's begin. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still small voice. Open us to change and growth as we seek to walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 43, verses 14 to 21. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. As I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, you and I were created to exist with God, to co-rule with Him and to flourish in His presence. But because humans chose their own definition of life and flourishing and rebelled against God, sin entered the world, and all of humanity became separated from His presence. Despite humanity's rebellion, God has a plan to bring His people back into His presence. And as we see in the scriptures, part of this plan was to promise the nation of Israel land, a land that guaranteed restored intimacy with God and human flourishing, a land they could inhabit and also simultaneously expand, carrying the presence of God to the surrounding nations. But this first promised land and life in God's presence came with a simple instruction. Humans were to trust God and follow His commands, and if they chose to act by their own wisdom and ignore God, they would forfeit the land He had given them. And as we saw over the past 6 weeks, they do. The people disobey God, doubting His provision, and time again, they forfeit the land and are sent into exile, into the wilderness where they wander as strangers in a foreign land, far from the flourishing they were created for. But in Isaiah 43, God promises a way. In this passage, Isaiah prophesies that, in fact, due to the Israelites' sin and disobedience, they would be sent out of the land promised them and into exile. They would be strangers in a land that wasn't theirs. But the promise-keeping God who had delivered them before would rescue them again. And He says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. I am making a way in the wilderness." And then the remainder of Isaiah is the introduction of a new character in the story, God's servant, the suffering servant, who would do for Israel what they could not do for themselves, replacing their hearts of stone and giving them hearts that are obedient and responsive to God, leading them out of the wilderness and restoring them back into the promised land, flourishing in God's presence once more. The land God promises the nation of Israel plays an important role in the Bible, starting in Genesis and being developed throughout the entirety of Scripture, all the way to Revelation. Although the scriptures refer to an actual geographical location, Canaan, the land promised to the Israelites pointed to something else. It was a shadow pointing to God's promise of a renewed, redeemed earth, unhindered by sin and suffering, where humans would dwell permanently in the presence of God, a place of abundance and flourishing that would supersede anything ever promised in Canaan. And yes, our rebellion against God relegated us to a life separated from Him, but the God who continually pursues His people says, "Look, I have done a new thing. I have made a way in the wilderness." He has made a way in the wilderness, and His name is Jesus. He is the suffering servant who came to do what we could not do for ourselves. And as we've seen this entire 6 weeks of Lent, Jesus walks the wilderness journey in perfect obedience, offering Himself in total surrender to the Father's will. And on the cross, Jesus suffers in our place, dying and rising from the dead to inherit the world and bring humanity back into the promised land. He pays the price of our sins so that we might receive His righteousness, so that He can change our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, restoring us back to the presence of God and enabling us to stay there, to flourish there. And so when you put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ and all He did on the cross for you, you were grafted into Israelite lineage. Their promise becomes yours. And the promise to you is that one day you will inhabit the promised land, a redeemed and renewed earth unhindered by sin and suffering, guaranteed full and completed restoration in the presence of God. But until this day, you and I are sojourners. We're travelers in the wilderness, in exile, wandering like foreigners in a land that isn't ours. I mentioned at the beginning of this devotional that Lent is our very own little wilderness journey, but the truth is that it isn't just Lent. In fact, the predominant metaphor of the entire Christian life is walking in wilderness. The entire Christian journey is a wilderness journey, and maybe that's a bit sobering, but I think we can all agree that we feel it. We walk the wilderness of a fallen world. Many of you listening right now are experiencing the suffering and grief of a fallen world. Sickness, loneliness, death, and darkness. Our hearts, wherever we find ourselves, are homesick for a world that is promised us, a land where our hearts truly find home. So here on Easter Monday, you need to know that God promised to make a way in the wilderness, and Jesus' resurrection guaranteed that promise. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, "We have been born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Through Jesus' resurrection, all who put their hope in Him are born into a living hope, a living and active guarantee that we will one day enter the land promised us. The very fact that Jesus is alive means death and sin have been defeated, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He rules and reigns over heaven and earth. And our inheritance as those grafted into the family of God is ours. It never fades and it never spoils. Therefore, Peter says, we can walk the wilderness of this world while holding tight to resurrection hope. You can walk through the dark of the wilderness being led by resurrection light. Look, God has made a way in the wilderness. And Peter also says that you and I are receiving the end result of our faith. Notice his words aren't, "You will receive the end result of your faith." He says, "You are receiving the end result of your faith." Through the sending of the Holy Spirit, you and I walk the wilderness of a fallen world, but we breathe. Hear me say this, we breathe promised land air. We've got promised land soil in the tread of our shoes because we are simultaneously receiving the end result of our faith. It's as Isaiah says, He is making streams in the wasteland. We walk the wilderness of this world, but we drink of living water now. So Lent is a journey that ends with resurrection, but one must walk through the wilderness first. Jesus' journey to his own resurrection required his very own wilderness as well. In the same way, our own resurrection, being fully restored back into the presence of God, inhabiting the land promised us, requires us to walk the wilderness of a fallen world. But we do so with living hope, learning to drink deeply of streams in the wasteland, inviting those around us to breathe promised land air for themselves, and awaiting the day when Jesus will call each of us by name to plant our feet on the soil he achieved for us. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you may have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I will now lead you through a period of contemplation, pausing often for your own personal time with the Lord. Pay attention to any words, thoughts, or images the Holy Spirit reveals to you in this time. Lord, how are you calling me to a living hope, awaiting the glory of the world to come? Lord, in this season, what is one way you are calling me to experience the end result of my faith, the salvation of my soul, walking the wilderness of this world while simultaneously also drinking deeply of streams in the wasteland? First Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you may have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now pray a prayer asking Jesus to guide you through the wilderness of this world with an unshakable living hope, teaching you to drink fully of streams in the wasteland. Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. So guide us that, following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world, toward the glory of the world to come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of this time together. We give it to you as a final Lenten offering, a gift of ourselves. We thank you for being with us, for speaking to our hearts, strengthening our faith, and reminding us that we are not alone in this journey. You led us here in grace. We ask that the transformation begun in us will continue. Amen.